Psalm 27. You got it? Say amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that you know that you're going to heaven? Isn't that exciting to know that you're going to heaven? You know, baptism does not get you to heaven. Church membership does not get you to heaven. Being a good person does not get us to heaven. What gets us to heaven? Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Son of God shed His own blood to wash away our sins. Why? Because He is the only one who lived a sinless life, and in His perfection, He was the only one that was capable of paying for our sin. And He didn't cover our sin with His blood. He washed it away. So when we put our faith in Christ, number one, realizing I am a sinner, and going to God and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I know Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose the third day, and I ask You to forgive my sins. God, save my soul. I give my life to You. You know, when we do that, He writes our name in the book of life. Isn't that incredible? Your name is written in heaven. I remember some show, I can't remember which one it was, but he was so excited because his name was in the phone book. He was so excited. He looked it up. There's my name in the phone book. So excited. Right? But our name's written in heaven, in the book of life. Right there, spelled right and everything. And so when it comes our time, there's no question, there's no holding cell. We're not going to purgatory. We're not going to hell while we wait and there's a jury trial. We're going to heaven because our sins are washed away. And when you get to the gate, St. Peter's not going to ask you a quiz question. Aren't you glad? That whole St. Peter standing at the gate, I don't know where that comes from. I guess because Jesus said, I'd give him the keys. Looney Tunes, or it's cartoons. Look, when we get to heaven, I'm excited about going. I'm not trying to go today, but I'm excited about going. And when we get there, just think of all the ones that are already there waiting for us. They're going to be so excited that we made it, that we got there, that we trusted Christ as our Savior and our sins are washed away. And when you get there, you get to stay. Isn't that great? It's not a trial basis. But we have to put our faith in God. We have to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior in order to be able to say, the Lord is my salvation. There's no other way. It also says in verse 1, the Lord is my light. And I thought about all different kinds of light, thinking about light. I thought about, you know, having these lights on and now we can see everything. But then I got to thinking about the real illustration here of being in darkness. And I thought about the headlights on a car and being able to see where we're going. And that's the type of light. You know, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a lamp, and a light unto my path. Well, what does that cover? It doesn't show us the whole world. It just shows us where we need to be going. It just shows us our next steps, our next few steps, our next few feet. It doesn't light everything up so we can see it, but it just lights the way. Guys, too many times we get our attention off of God and away from Jesus, and we begin to see some things that we really don't even need to see. We get involved in things we really don't even need to put our hands in. We need to stay on course, on task, on mission with God and let Him light the path that He wants us to follow. He is my light. Think about these things. How many of you have some of these things? Or maybe just the lens and they just stick it on your eye. How many of y'all have some of those too, right? But what does this do? You know what this does? This doesn't help you see by what you're looking out on. What it actually does is it directs the light that's coming in to the retina. And that's the reason that they're shaped a certain way. And so, you know, the prescriptions are different. We don't all have the same type. Because they look at our eyes, the shape of our eyes, and they have to shape the glasses and put the right thickness in there so that the light can be directed exactly where it needs to go to help us see better. And isn't that what God does? The light of God helps us to see better. It improves our vision. It improves our perception. It improves our the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves. How many of you got glasses like I did and you put those things on and then you went outside and you, whoa. Any of y'all do that? None of y'all did that, did you? Take those big, whoa, that ground looks close now. You know what? Because the light was coming into my eyes and I hadn't seen like that in a while, I guess. Now I could just walk around like a fool. If I trip, it's just because I'm clumsy. But the light of the Lord improves our vision, the way we view life, including the challenges and the obstacles. And once we have Jesus in our lives, it changes the way we look at everything. And so we go through the obstacles, we go through the challenges, and yes, they're real, and yes, they're hard. But we know we have the Lord on our side. And we know that the Lord has blazed that path for us. And so we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? We know if God brought us to it, God can bring us through it. And so we keep our confidence in God. He is our light. He is our salvation. Not only saving us from hell, but saving us from the sin that destroys us. I was doing a recertification class, and I came across some stuff. I may have told you this already. But you know, there are four things in common with people in this country who get bitten by snakes. Have I told y'all this? Number one, they're men. Figures. Number two, they're white. Number three, they're inebriated. These are common factors. Like, they look at the majority of people get bit by snakes. And then number four, they have tattoos. Now, that fourth one was a new one for me. I hadn't heard that one before. But in the class, that was one of the common factors among people who get bitten by snakes. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us they're risk takers. It tells us that they do some things that are maybe a little bit more dangerous, right? Those are the four things. Look, I didn't make that up. You can look it up for yourself. But the point is this, is that when we get saved, God saves us because he changes the way we see the world and the way we think about things, and he causes us to take the right kind of risks. I don't know about those churches that play with snakes. We're not one of them. Like Wendy Bagwell, right? But the point is this, is look, it doesn't mean that life is going to be risk-free. But it means we're going to take the right kind of risks. That we're going to do the right kind of dangerous things. Like what? Well, you know, God has called us to share the gospel. He's called us to share the truth, to preach the truth, to exemplify the truth. And that's not always going to make people happy. But we can't cower and hide because somebody gets offended by truth. Now look, I can hold back my opinion if that's going to offend somebody. But the truth can't be held back. Opinion is something that's developed. Truth is something you can go back and look at it in black and white and say, thus saith the Lord. That's different. And so God leads us not to have a risk-free life, but to have the right types of risks. To live the right kind of challenges in our lives. He is the strength of our lives. He saves us from sinful destruction. And we, you know, so we talked about snakes a minute ago, and most of y'all said, oh, I don't want to touch any snakes. Why? Because you have good sense. That's why. Why don't we look at sin that way? Why don't we look at alcohol that way? And drugs that way? And sexual deviance that way? Why don't we look at sin, you know, the language that is so nasty and offensive to God? Why don't we look at that? Oh, wouldn't touch a rattlesnake, but we play with sin like it's not dangerous. And we mock those that do it. Guys, we need to make sure we see what's dangerous and stay out of it. That's what Jesus came to save us, is out of a life of sin. Because you know why sin is sin? Because it's destructive. It's going to destroy you. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy your children. It'll destroy your life. Sin will. Well, so far I've been okay. So far. We need to stay out of sin. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He gives us hope. He gives us confidence. He tackles fear with love and hope and purpose. What did David say when he faced the giant? Is there not a cause? I'm not saying to go out and take unnecessary risk and to live a dangerous lifestyle. Quite the contrary. I'm saying we need to live where God is directing us. But if God directs us into something that's even maybe life-threatening or dangerous, we just need to trust God. Because God will never lead us astray. And He's our strength. He gives us the confidence. Again, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose behind what we do? Behind the gospel, behind the preaching, behind the Word of God? There is. To change lives. You know what I want? I want everybody in this room to go to heaven. I don't mean now, don't get scared. But I want everybody in this room to go to heaven. Everybody that's watching online to go to heaven. I want everybody to put their faith in Jesus. Everybody. I want everybody to have a better life because we have escaped sin. Because we have removed sin from our lives. Because it's destructive. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. You ever felt that way? They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. This is the same writer that said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, God gave me a place to live even though there's wolves, coyotes, and lions all around. He's not worried. Though everyone should rise against him, I will have confidence. Why? Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You see, the challenges and the obstacles and the trouble that does come, by the way, it comes to everybody. I'm not here to tell you that if you get saved, you won't have trouble. I'm telling you, everybody has trouble. But the way we face those troubles and those challenges comes back to what our purpose is, comes back to what our mission is. What is the mission? I just want to please God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, asked of God, and that will I seek, that will I pursue. What is that? Just to be with God. Just want to be His friend. Just want to walk with Him. Just want to have fellowship and communion with Him. Just want to be near my God. That's all. That's all I want. Incredible to me that Jonah said that he was in the belly of the whale and he cried out. God heard him. No matter where we are. Even when we've backslidden and gotten away from God, we can call out and God will hear our cry. Isn't that incredible? One thing have I desired, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why do you want to be there? I just want to look at Him. You see that? To behold the beauty of the Lord. That's why Kendra married me. She said, I just want to be able to look at Him every day. Maybe not. But here's the picture. You understand? Here's the picture. The picture that David's writing is that relationship. Don't you remember how you used to just look at your spouse as they slept? I mean, before you thought about smothering them, but just in the early days when you used to love them, right? I shouldn't say this with my friends here, but anyway. When you just look at them and just think, oh, how wonderful they are, how beautiful, and how, and y'all need to repeat this, husbands, when you get home today, please. You need to remind her how beautiful she is and how you just love to look at her. That's what he said, I want to be there. Why do you want to be there? I just want to look at God. I just want to look at God. I mean, what are you going to do with God? I just want to look at God. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that a deep felt love? I just want to look at him. I just want to behold the beauty. And I just want to be able to just ask anything I want in his temple, to inquire in his temple. That's all. I just want to be able to talk to God. I want to be able to ask him questions. I was counseling a couple not long ago, and the husband began to explain to me what the tipping point was of their current situation. And he said, you know, I had a bad day at work, and this was wrong, and that was wrong, and I came home, and I just wanted to talk to my wife. I just wanted to have a conversation with my wife. Just wanted her to listen to me. Just wanted her to hear. Didn't want her to solve anything. I just wanted her to hear me. Guys, that's exactly what David's saying. David said, I just want to talk to God. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Father? That you just love to be around? I just want to be with them. One of my greatest joys is when my boys, of course, you know, all the kids, but some of them have moved out of the house, when they just want to be with Dad. And they'll come over and just sit there and just talk and just be with Dad. That's why we enjoy some of the things that we do. It's not that we really love the activity. I just love being with my kids. In that same way, the Father just loves being with us. He just wants us to be there. You know what Psalmist said? Psalmist said, one thing I want. Just want to be with God. Why do you go to church? Does it make you feel closer to God? Why do we sing those songs? You know, y'all notice that I changed the words in that one song, because as we sing it, we could just be talking to him. I just want to be with him. I want to be in his presence. I got good news for you. Jesus said, if I go, I will send a comforter, that he may be with you. In fact, that he may be in you. That the Holy Ghost, the presence of God Almighty, would be in us. So we never have to be alone. We never have to be away from God. But you know, I've been around people and felt ignored, haven't you? And don't you know the Holy Ghost has to? We ignore him more than we ignore anyone else, probably. And you know what he wants? He just wants to be with us. He just wants to have that fellowship, that friendship, that communion. We need that with God. And that's what the psalmist is describing here. To dwell with God, to behold his beauty, to inquire of him. Verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Just wanna, you don't raise your hand or answer this out loud, but how much time do we spend in fellowship, communion, prayer, meditation, just with God, just being with God? Just acknowledge, just talking to him. Things remind us to talk to God. Verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. Do you do that? Just go around praising the Lord? Sometimes I get a hymn caught in my mind and I just keep singing all day long. Just keep singing. All day long, just praising the Lord. Verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You see, as we talk about how wonderful God is and how beautiful to be in his presence and what a blessing it is to just be able to talk to him, David's reminded of something. He's reminded that he's a sinful man. He's reminded that he makes mistakes. He's reminded that he has no business in the presence of holy God. And so he says, God, please don't hide me away. Don't hide your face from me. I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But please don't separate yourself from me. Look at verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When nobody else cares, when everyone abandons me, when there's no one to turn to, God's still there. God's still there. The Lord will take me up. And that's basically what he says in verse 9. I need you, God. I need you. I want to be around you. I want to talk to you. I want to sing to you. I need you in my life. Don't take away your presence. Don't hide from me. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. You know what David is saying? David is saying, what do you want for supper, Lord? How many of y'all ever had that discussion? What do you want for supper? I don't know. Well, just names? I don't care. Okay, you want KFC? No, not KFC. You want Popeyes? No, I don't really want Popeyes. Well, what do you want? Well, I don't care. Do you want pizza? Oh, we had pizza last night. You know what? David says, God, will you just speak to me plainly? Just tell me what it is you want. God, can you not, let's not make this a mystery, God. Just show me your way. Just teach me your way. Guys, walking with God does not have to be like figuring out what you want for supper. We know what God wants because we read his word. We know what God wants because he doesn't lie to us. He doesn't confuse us. We pray and he answers us by his Holy Spirit. I wonder how many people got up this morning and said, Lord, do you want me to go to your house today? And God said, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says, didn't I tell you to go to my house? Well, Lord, do you really want me to get saved? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, do I need to get baptized? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Isn't that what the Bible says? Am I making this stuff up? No question what God wants. He lays it out for us. But then somewhere along the way, we decide, well, that's not really what he meant. No, that's what he meant. That's what he said. David says, God, just please lay out a plain path. I want to follow you. I want to do your work. I've got enemies. I've got distractions. I've got fights. You know, look, here's the thing. When you go home, husbands, wives, listen to me. The world is hard enough. School is difficult enough. When you come home and your spouse comes home and your kids get home, it needs to be a sanctuary. Let the hollering and the fussing and the fighting be done in the world, and let us come home to peace. And let me say the same thing about church. Amen. The world's hard enough. We come in here, it ought to be peace. God's people need to love each other and get along. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hold on. You see what he said at the end there? You know, people get this idea, I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, good, it's there. But you know, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy God's presence and God's power and God's goodness. He said, I had fainted, I had quit, I had given up, I would have just fell out if I hadn't believed that I could see God do great things here, now, today. I believe heaven's going to be wonderful, but I believe God's got power here and his presence here, and he does great things. And I believe God answers prayers in miraculous ways even today. If I didn't believe that, there would be no reason to pray. Look at verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Unfortunately, we have developed an immediate mentality. I remind you of my friend Michael Jeremiah in seminary. He was from Grenada. We shared in those days, we didn't have dorms per se, as we had a house. It was the college had rented, and that was our dorm. Each one had a room. Of course, we shared a common kitchen. One afternoon, even I came into the kitchen and there was Michael Jeremiah watching the microwave. We say, God, I put my faith in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And we expect everything in our lives to be better the next day. Let me tell you something. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He writes your name in the book of life. He assures you a home in heaven. And He assures you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the troubles of this life will still come. But the difference is He's given us a few things. Number one, He's given us His presence by the Holy Spirit. Number two, He's given us His Word, that we could understand His mind and the ways of God. Number three, He's given us a church. Isn't that wonderful? You say, well, the church doesn't do for me. Tell us what you want us to do. I have never seen somebody need something and actually express it and not have it met. But now if you don't express it, I can't help you. Isn't God good? The psalmist says, I just want one thing. I just want to spend time with God. When we reach that point in our Christianity, then we'll know where we should be. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation played and give you an opportunity to come and kneel at the altar and pray. If you just want to talk to God, you can talk to Him where you are. He can hear you from there. I'll pray with you if you want me to. Be glad to. But right now, would you please connect your heart with God through prayer? And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, right now, would you pray and say, God, I need you. I put my faith in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins. Maybe you've already been saved and you're ready to be baptized to bury the old in the waters of baptism and be risen to walk in newness of life. This is your opportunity to come. Whatever's on your heart, whatever burden you have, we can pray together and reach heaven this morning. God, guide us in this time and do your work in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? This is your opportunity. Hearts and minds are clear. Anything else before we're dismissed? We do have baptism if y'all want to go ahead and go back and get prepared. why. And so if you want to stay for baptism, you're welcome to. Of course, invited to. Please stay and join us for that. But if not, we'll be dismissed in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie, if you will, to lead that prayer.